Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
My name is Sarah Mahler Kraus. I am professor of music at Ripon College, Ripon, Wisconsin. And this is my first time at Holden Village. I'm very honored to be one of the faculty here presenting sessions from, based on my recently published book, Music and War in the United States. And this is a course that I developed and taught at Ripon College, but without a text. So in January, Routledge Press published a collection of essays by scholars from all over the United States and Canada that I edited, and the purpose is to present our uses of music in wartime in all the conflicts in which the United States has been involved. So we start with the Revolutionary War and go all the way through the war in Iraq. And the last chapter is devoted to music therapy as a protocol for treating wounded service members. And so there's a lot of history, but there are many aspects, I think, that people don't know of the roles of music in war. And one overarching theme is the uses of music in wartime. Music can be used as a weapon, can be used to divide people, to polarize them. It can also be used to unify them, to boost morale. And the military, it can be used to keep morale up, but to entertain the soldiers and to bond them, to literally make them into a unified force. In the civilian populations, music functions as expressions of longing, of connection with their loved ones who are abroad, and also with grief and mourning when people don't come home, when wars go badly, and so forth. So many, many different roles of music in wartime. And each chapter explores the uses of music in the military, and this goes from the early days in the Revolutionary War when fifes and drums were used to signal military maneuvers, through the Civil War when we see the organization of brass bands, military bands, that legacy is still with us today, and many community bands, and World War II, when technology had increased, we have radio, we have film music, and still live music, music tours, all the way through to Vietnam, and of course another focus of music, which is protest music. So music can be used for propaganda, it can be used to stir up patriotism, but it can also be used to express protest. And I think for most people, Vietnam was the pinnacle of that kind of expression. But then we also go into 9/11 and the war on terror, which is interesting because of how music was used to promote American unity and also used to demonize Muslims, basically. And that led, of course, that set the stage for the war in Iraq. Well, there were benefit concerts after that, right?
Okay.
In New York.
Okay.
And the first concert was basically to one of consolation and hope. The lighting and design were all intended to connect Americans and create solidarity. Mm-hmm. And how awful this event was, and how we were trying to console the families and relatives of the people who died in the World Trade Center. Then the second benefit concert, this is all pretty much the chapter that my colleague Kip Pegley in Canada analyzed. Second concert was much more aggressive. started out, and that's featured British bands who were coming in support, talking about revenge and avenging ourselves against these horrible terrorists who had destroyed so many lives. And the music was more rock, mm-hmm. which is was more hardcore. The first benefit concert featured gospel choirs, for example, right? You know, inclusiveness, hope, and comfort. And then the second one was more about angry rock music okay. and some country music, and featured many more male musicians than female. So it set a tone. It wasn't actually saying, oh, let's go to war now, but it was setting up a cultural moment where people were feeling angry. And the call for, let's do something. You know, we can't just take this. We have to do something about it. I think set the stage for then the Iraq War. Another thing that we talk about is the role of technology in all these different conflicts. And, of course, it changes rapidly drastically from the early eras, the Revolutionary War, up through Iraq. It changes the way music is recorded and spread and shared. And also changes with the way the soldiers use music in their own lives. From the kind of music they made 18th and 19th century, soldiers sang, that was what they had, to the idea of radios and phonographs in the 20th century. And then in Vietnam, there were cassette tapes and 8-tracks, still radios too. But with Iraq, we find soldiers making their own individual playlists because they've got CD players first, and then they've got iPods, right? So the technology affects the way that we hear and use music. And it can sometimes emphasize individuals over a group. I think those are the main overarching themes. And the other thing is what changes and what stays the same when you're talking about wartime and music. Are there songs that bring people together? Are there songs that encourage different emotions? And the idea of music as propaganda is really interesting, because then you're talking about psychological manipulation. And in World War II, that was definitely used by our government and as well as by the Axis powers. And we weren't just using it for our own audience, but we were broadcasting to other countries, trying to influence behavior, cause some dissension in foreign audiences. Like, we broadcast jazz into Germany because a lot of Germans liked it, but the government didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and you could find this in many other conflicts around the world, still being used as a weapon. For example, in Panama in the 80s, when we wanted to get rid of Noriega, what happened was that the embassies set up giant speakers all around his residence and basically subjected him to loud music all the time until he finally caved. Music's been used in some PSYOPs, special things in Iraq, not a lot, but somewhere, in order to break a prisoner's will. Recordings of something would be played over and over. Metal music was one thing that really bothered, because it bothered the local population. Crying babies is another thing. I mean, this is the negative aspect of music, but what is really fascinating is that music is such a powerful force. It can be harnessed for good or for negative reasons. Somebody once said, even back in the Civil War times, that men will sing things they'd be ashamed to say or afraid to say. And it does allow people to express things. Also makes the words more powerful, because if you hear words set to music, you're going to be more apt to remember them than if they're just spoken, I think. And yeah, a lot of people have latched onto that. What I've done is try to pull together issues from many wars, but there are almost everyone who wrote a chapter in this book has written an entire book about a particular war. Doug Bradley, for example, lives in Madison, Wisconsin, has written a book recently called We Gotta Get Out of This Place, about Vietnam. He was a serviceman there. So that's one example. But he basically talks about, soldiers have talked about the role, the influence of music in their lives when they were in a particular situation. A lot of them can say, yeah, I was in this bad place, and then I heard this song, and it made me feel better, or it did something for me.
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information, or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.